from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name. I'm glad that you're joining us for our Let the Bible Speak broadcast today, as the Reverend James Porter turns our thoughts to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. That message is coming in just a few moments after we hear these words in song.
There was a time on earth when in the book of men, and all the countless standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I learned into the keeper and settled long ago.
Bible reading today is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And there we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." These words, which were written by the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian church, contain one of the greatest Bible summaries regarding God's so great salvation in the heart of man. The reason why I say this is due to the fact that these words show us that salvation is all of God's grace. The hymn writer was most correct when he penned the words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Now this morning, as we would think upon these words in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, there are four important truths that I want you to notice regarding God's salvation. First of all, we see the certainty of salvation. Paul says, "For by grace are ye saved." Those last three words, "are ye saved," show us that salvation is something that is real and certain. If you read through the New Testament, you will see that the word "saved" occurs at least 47 times. Our Lord used it in John chapter 10, verse 9, when he said, "I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Peter used it in the days of Pentecost. In Acts 4, verse 12, he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And as you would listen today, the important question that I ask you is this: are you saved? Have you experienced in your heart and life the great reality of God's salvation? For in God's sight, we are either saved or unsaved. We all belong to one of those two groups of people. There is no in-between ground. As the hymn writer says, neutral you cannot be. If you're saved, then your sins are all forgiven, you're reconciled to God, and you're on your way to heaven and shall never experience hell. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 says, "We shall be saved from wrath through him, him being the Lord Jesus. But on the other hand, if you are not saved, then you are still a guilty sinner before God, still separated from God on your way to a lost eternity." Speaking of the unsaved person, John chapter 3, verses 18 and 36 tell us that he is condemned already, and the wrath of God abideth on him. This is your state if you have not yet been saved. But secondly, this verse shows us that salvation is by grace alone. It says, "For by grace are you saved." The end of the verse we read the words, "It is the gift of God." Grace has rightly been defined as the free, unmerited favour of God. This is how it is with salvation. Salvation is all of God's grace. None of us merit it, because we are all sinners by nature and practice before God. Romans chapter 3, verses 11 and 12 tell us, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." This is the natural state before God of mankind. Whenever we enter into this world, we are sinners by nature and practice. There is no good thing within our nature to commend God's salvation to us. If we are going to be saved, it is all going to be of God's grace. Also, it must be stressed that God's grace is free. It cannot be bought by good works, even if those works are prayers, self-reformation, or religiosity. As Ephesians 2, verse 9 says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." The grace of God in salvation is free, without money, without price. Prior to being saved himself, Paul was a persecutor of God's people, guilty of terrible crimes, yet God saved him by his matchless grace. Writing to the Corinthian church, he was later able to say, "But by the grace of God I am what I am." Please realize, dear listener, that there is nothing that you have to pay in order to be saved. Neither is there anything that you can pay. Salvation is all of grace. But then thirdly, this verse shows us that salvation by grace is appropriated to us by faith. The text says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Faith is the channel or the conductor of God's saving grace toward us. Just in the same way as water pipes conduct water into our homes from a reservoir, so in like manner it is by faith alone that we can experience the grace of God's salvation in our lives. We are saved by laying hold upon God's grace through the hand of faith. Romans 4 verse 15 says, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace." We cannot lay hold upon saving grace by the ceremonies of the church, such as baptism, confirmation, or any other ordinance. Paul does not say, "For by grace are you saved through baptism." No, he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Also, do not think that you can lay hold upon God's grace and salvation through your own feelings. Someone has once said, "You might as well hope to see through your ear than to be saved by your feelings." No, you can only be saved by grace through faith. This faith is not in yourself, nor is it in anything of man or of the church. No, it is by faith in Christ alone that you are saved. It is by trusting in his finished work alone upon the cross to make you right with God. It is by trusting in his precious blood that he shed upon the cross to wash away all your sin that you can be saved by grace through faith. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Again, speaking of Christ's great work upon the cross, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world." That word propitiation simply means to appease the wrath of God. Therefore it is by trusting and that once-for-all sacrifice of Christ that your sins can be forgiven and that you can be made right with God and thus be saved by God's grace. The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Is this the question that you are pondering as you listen to this broadcast? Then my answer to you is the same as Paul's in Acts 16, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. This is why the hymn writer could say, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead." But then finally, this verse shows us that salvation by grace through faith is not of ourselves. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." These words reveal that the very faith that the sinner exercises in Christ's great work in order to be saved is but the gift of God. Also, these words convey the truth that there is not one inherent spark within man to create salvation by faith. As far as being saved is concerned, man is totally impotent and powerless. Speaking to those who were saved in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, Paul says, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." By nature before God, man is dead in trespasses and sins. You think of a dead corpse, it can do absolutely nothing. And likewise, man, whose natural state is one of being dead in trespasses and in sins, can do nothing toward saving himself. Unsaved listener, there's nothing that you can ever do that will cause you to deserve God's saving grace. Also, do not think that you can ever evolve into salvation by your own self-will over a period of time. For your own self-will is bent on rebellion against God. For there is none that seeketh after God. Therefore it was for this reason that the prophet Jonah said that salvation is of the Lord. Likewise, this is why the psalmist David could say salvation belongeth unto the Lord. They realized that in and of themselves they were totally powerless to contribute anything towards God's saving grace in their life. Unsaved listener, this day may you realize your utter hopelessness to save yourself, and in doing so may you cast yourself entirely upon the mercy and grace of God for salvation. Like the publican in Luke chapter 18, may you cry, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." May you look by faith to Christ alone and be gloriously and eternally saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's word cannot lie. Therefore take him at his word and be saved for time and eternity.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.